The mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him asking something of him. He saith to them, My chalice indeed you shall drink. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some Novus Ordo Pope comes up with yet another change, upsetting people, almost on purpose. You may think this refers to Bergoglio limiting again the Latin Mass the Novus Ordo conservatives have been enjoying. It had been liberalized for a number of years now. But he went so far, the hateful man speaks his mind, as to say that traditional Catholics are to be tolerated barely until they die off. Would that our rulers in the one world government were so tolerant, they seem to be in a hurry to rush the process, thus the great push for the vax. But we ought to be encouraged to persevere in fervent prayer this week, especially for the brethren in France, where they want to impose the vaccine passport. Hundreds of thousands of people in France and throughout Europe demonstrated vigorously yesterday. In Italy, in Florence, there was a charming scene. It's happened before during this crisis that the police who met the demonstrators with helmets took their helmets off by means of symbolizing that they were with the people. May that continue. But when it goes down to Rome, that game that's played there is not new. Already, 50 years ago, they put in that new Mass, which is ecumenical, and do not forget, 70% of the new Mass has been rewritten. And a new calendar went with it. At that time, the press chose to highlight one change in the calendar in particular, which struck at the heart of what you could call popular or cultural Catholicism. They canceled St. Christopher, patron saint of drivers and of travel. Anybody remember that? There was an outrage about that. Because after all, for a lot of people, it's just some little thing, some little devotion or practice, which is their last link with God and with the faith. At that time, I remember there was a famous Italian actress who was not especially Catholic in her life. Her name was Gina Lollobrigida, and she declared to the press that, well, the Pope could do what he wanted to do, but she was not going to give up St. Christopher. People ought not to give up their cherished devotions. This has been going on for a long time, more than half a century, and I'm always surprised at the commentators and the clergy who spend a lot of time, in fact, mucking around in the trash, denouncing and dissecting the latest horrors that are practiced, when the situation is simple. That's not the Catholic Church. These things don't come from Holy Mother Church. She could never teach her faithful falsehood, nor give her children evil. And anything else in the way of a consideration is a waste of time. Asked and answered, move on. The modernists, remember St. Athanasius told us a long time ago, the modernists have the buildings, but no more than the buildings. We have the faith. And those who have taken over the countries today, different native lands of the world, have wasted no time in trying to turn the motherland for all of these people into murder land. What mother would murder her own children? But abortions were not enough. Vaccinations must do the rest. And again, not even children are spared. But because the great work of life is not to save nations, God's justice comes into question here. But souls, and we saw last week that souls are saved one by one. Let's look at the mother in the gospel and complete the story with the mother of all mothers blessed. Salome is the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And in the gospel, she brings them to Jesus, or maybe it's their idea, and they bring her with them to let mom do the talking. She adores, and then she asks for something. What does she want? When your kingdom comes, Lord, say that my sons will have thrones on either side of your own. I want them to be in first place. A pushy Jewish mother unscrupulously promoting her sons over the other apostles. In any case, they immediately fall to fighting about who deserves the highest place in the kingdom, and our Lord has to break it up. But something else is going on here. You see it often in the Old Testament. It's a literary characteristic of the Old Testament or Hebrew style. St. Matthew paints a picture for us of the before, and then, watch for it, the after, concerning that mother who at first doesn't get it about the chalice and suffering. Nobody does there at that time. And here it is. It's almost Holy Week. Salome is referred to here as the mother of the sons of Zebedee. The term occurs only twice in the New Testament, both times in St. Matthew. In this gospel, she appears as an ambitious worldling who wants the best for her boys and has missed the point. Saints go out of their way, professional courtesy, to excuse her and to give different reasons as to why we should not think ill of her. But in any case, the next time she shows up is 7 chapters later, and there she is at Calvary, at the cross, converted, following Christ to the bitter end, standing next to the Blessed Mother, keeping with her vigil until our Lord dies. She, who was so worried about her boys, hears our Lord giving her son John away to his own mother, to Our Lady, to be her son instead. She understood then, there at the cross, the part about the chalice and what it meant, the suffering. Can you drink the chalice? I am going to drink. She understood there, how could she not, in the company of the Blessed Mother herself. She drank it first, Salome did, before her children. What a mother. She follows Jesus to the end and gives away to Jesus and to Mary not one son, but both. So John is Our Lady's adopted son, and that night takes her unto his own, to his own house, to take care of her. And James, he was Mary's favorite, the mystics say. James, of the generous heart, big and bold and brave, wanting to do great things for Christ, for the kingdom. And now he's forgotten about his throne. But he did need Our Lady's protection, and she was prompt to provide it, as he was in offering to do so much. St. James was the first apostle to depart Jerusalem as a missionary. He went to far-off Spain, the end of the known world, referred to as Spain and the West. And he returned to the Holy Land to be the first apostle to die as a martyr. They say he came back to Spain centuries later during the Crusades to deliver his adopted land from the invading Moslems. Santiago y Ellos, that was their battle cry. St. James and have at them. We could use that militant spirit today. But for that, we need a mother like Mary, who is, Scripture sees, terrible as an army set in battle array. Mary will obtain this grace and so many more for us. But if we are to fight, we will require our armor, somebody to get our back, protection. Our Lady got St. James great graces, and she actually, they say, shared her guardian angels with him. But mothers have to be impartial and hide their favorites in their heart, especially the Blessed Mother, whose apostle sons were still a little touchy on the point who would be the greater. Therefore, this most prudent queen, that's how Mary of Agreda in her wonderful book, The Mystical City of God, refers to her most often, would appear to the big-hearted James, but secretly, at night, unknown to the rest, especially when James was tempted to lose heart in Spain. The opposition of the Jews was such that it seemed that everything he tried to do was blocked to him. And they would have put him to death. He went back to Jerusalem, and Herod Agrippa did put him to death. And St. Luke says he did that to please the Jews. My chalice, indeed, you shall drink, our Lord told him. It was fulfilled. Now listen, can you drink the chalice? In olden times, if you were invited to meet with the king, it was considered a great honor that he should send his cup to you at the banquet. It was a sign of friendship. And it is so today. He asks this of you, not necessarily the martyr's way, I mean to down the chalice in one swift draft, but slowly, sip by sip, to savor it and to stay sometimes with the sorrows of your life. They may be bitter, but you are not. I mean the personal failures, physical pain, financial woes, family conflicts, disappointments, divisions, the hurts of long ago never quite healed. And things still deeper in the soul. This do, and you will be ready, should suddenly or slowly the persecution come upon us. Now, how to handle this chalice? Well, imitate the great reverence of the priest at the altar with the chalice. It comes from God, St. Catherine of Siena reminds us. Venerate it. Let the Blessed Mother, let Mother Church bring you, like Salome of old, to Jesus. And you adore, first of all, and then you ask, lift up your chalice united with Christ's. That's the morning offering. That's living the spirit of the Mass all week long, and try to be here in person whenever you can. I do not say that these sorrows will turn sweet, but you will be able to friend them, not on Facebook for others to see, but in the book of your soul, which God alone may read. And you will find some joy because you will find Jesus there in those pages. And you will be close to him. And finally, that is all one mother a long time ago wanted for her sons. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.